So I want to talk about our Covenantal Community of University Church, which is in Chicago. And I'm going to explain a little bit about it, but I do want to give the Holden beginning, the Holden connection to this little intentional community in Chicago, which got started really with the seed and the soil right here in Holden Village in the mid-1970s. So some of you were probably not born at that time. Tell you a little bit about that time here at Holden and these particular people that were here at Holden. Some of you know them. That time is the era of Carol Hinderly, and it was a time when it was called faculty if you were leading the session. And if you were the faculty, some of the same faculty came up many years. And so you would see the same faces. I can't wait to get here because the cameras are going to be here. The Haynes are going to be here. Rudy and Doris are going to be here. The North, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because you knew you were always going to see them. And so about the middle of the 70s, I'd say 76 probably, my husband, there are three guys. My husband, Al, to which I'm going to say Al all the time. And then there was Rich Kammerer, referred to as Rich.
Who painted the ceiling.
Yes, who painted the ceiling. And Paul Hain, who was teaching economics at the Southern Methodist University in Dallas. And these are families that had come up many years. We did not have children, but they had four and five kids each. So anyway, there were lots of kids running around, by the way, which of course it makes a lot. So anyway, proposed a session called The New Community. And it was based on a book, which I do not know who the author was. I think it was a study of a community in New York, and I believe it was a study of a community that made community what we know as community playthings. I believe community playthings is still around, at least I saw it on the web, but I don't know whether that community is or not. And it was a book that was giving a description of what that community was. And so there were three or four sessions every week or something like that. And it was on this book. That didn't mean everybody read it, but it was what was talked about. And these particular men, I point out, began to talk about it a lot and talk about it among themselves and what community would mean and what they, each one of them, thought community would mean. Well, that was, the new community itself was a pretty rigid community from my perspective anyway. I mean, there were really big rules that you had to follow to be a part of that community. Anyway, each of them had a different idea of what community was to be. And they didn't create it necessarily here at Holden. That's why I say I think the soil was here. But maybe it was the seed was somewhere else out there and that they were bringing to Holden. So Rich Kammerer, he and his wife and family founded what some of you may know as the Grunewald in Leavenworth. He wanted an artist guild. Rich and Liz were in Valpo, and he was in the art department at Valparaiso University. Paul and Julie and their family, and this, again, mainly it's the men that are really pushing this. Paul was not happy with teaching at SMU. He wanted some change, I think, and he had the idea of a community in a neighborhood. So that community went, Paul and Julie went to Seattle. They bought a halfway house structure in Capitol Hill. You would not believe what Capitol Hill, if you had seen it now, would look like at that time. It was a little different. And so they got that place at a very reasonable price. Al, on the other hand, and some people here do know Al. Elaine is one. Neas was another, Janice and Bill Posey, certainly know him too. So there are a few people, and Carol feels like she may know him through listening to the archives. Anyway, Al had the idea that a community ought to come out of a church setting, that the church needed to be not so narrow, it needed to broaden out. And so he wanted to build a community that had the church base. So you had the neighborhood base, you had the art base, and you had the church base. I got all of that. Neighborhood, church, art. So these three guys actually went out and did it. With the support, and sometimes not support, of their spouses and family. I have to tell you that at least a couple of us spent a lot of time on that road out there grousing about our men that were doing these things with their heads and not dealing with the rest of their bodies in terms of what it would do, you know, in terms of how do you do this, what does it do to your family, you know, what does it do to get it going, and how do you relate and all that sort of thing. They had this idea in their head, especially Al. So I can't say that I was always the most supportive person of the community. So, and I want to keep that in mind, that I am not the most supportive person ever to want community. And of course, all these men in a lot of ways and their families, I don't think ever regretted what they've done. So I want to say that right off the top. So anyway, that's that part. Is there any question about Holden? I mean, there's a lot to talk about Holden, but that's one thing. And there is a similarity, yeah.
I was wondering, you know, you said that faculty was here, maybe similar faculty would be. Did they come up and spend the summer?
Most of it.
Oh, so, okay. So
at least a month, 2 months.
They didn't just come in for a week or two.
No.
They spent the whole summer teaching.
I would say we were here probably a month to 6 weeks, most of summers.
And many were in education settings.
Yes, many were in education settings and could do that. And that was the desire of the Hinderleys too. Okay. So, and some would come in for a shorter period of time, but not the core. There was a core for a while. At least that's the way I look at it. So we go back to Chicago. And things don't happen very fast. Now, that's a similarity to Holden. Things do not happen very quickly. So, and just like Holden, it has to start somewhere. So what Al did is that he went to our church. We're a Disciples of Christ UCC church. And we have somewhat of a social justice framework. But there were several Sunday school sessions on community. And there were different topics, of which I cannot tell you what they all were. But anyway, there were several things, just in general, about what community might mean. And so that happened maybe over a period of, I don't know, a year. And then people started kind of gathering around an idea of community. I mean, Al had a way, and people had an interest. There was kind of a give and take sort of thing, and potlucks began to happen in various people's homes. And that happened over, I don't know, several months, maybe another year, and also retreats out in Michigan at one of our now members' cabins. And at that point, I believe, not sure quite what the time in is here. We're talking about maybe 1978 or 9, about that time. So, you know, we're talking about 2 or 3 year period here, kind of letting it, kind of just getting it in the conversation, getting people to talk about it. I mean, people are going to have to move, they have to, you know, whatever they're going to have to do if we're going to live together, because place is also another important thing. And just like Holden. And you have to have a place for community. Can't be just scattered, oh, let's just go, not a house church, let's go meet in somebody's home, let's go do this. So it had to be a place. So, but we decided, okay, what are we? And we have to think of our purpose and all that, and that goes on and on and on for many years, but anyway. So we wrote a covenant, and that's what I have my computer here for, because I have it on the computer and I don't have it in piece of paper right now, so I would like to read it to you. And this was done out at our, one of the, I guess, last retreats. I think when these are the people that really decided, okay, we're going to go for it and make a commitment. So probably this was done before the building was bought, which we did buy a building, and I'll tell you that in a minute. So this is, and this was a kind of a combination of the, there were people, various people wrote various covenants. And then things were, we agreed upon the wording that would go into the covenant. And you're going to, well, I'll ask you what you think after at some point, what you think about this in terms of what you think a covenant ought to be, and you can go through a whole thing about that probably, and what this one is. So, of course, I can't see it. So this says, God having covenanted with us to be a people for all people and for all life, we covenant together to be such a people. We covenant together to seek a way to be free, to care for each other, for the life of the community, for the larger immediate community, for the human community, for the resources of the land, and for the beauty of nature. We covenant together to share with each other our major decisions, to listen to each other, to be with each other enough to be real parts of each other. We covenant together to attend to at least one of the challenges of our common world for the sake of each other and of our God. We further covenant together to be responsible stewards in carrying out community tasks. We covenant all this in such a way that we are at once bound together and free to be our own deepest selves. That's our covenant. Mm-hmm. And that took, and then we all signed it, the group that was there anyway. So, okay, so what's next? Well, we got to get a building. No, money, we're not money people. So this is the next thing, is also a building and money. So similar to Holden, probably, we find a dilapidated, boarded up building in not the most desirable neighborhood in Chicago. That's not to say this isn't the most desirable property in this area, but it needed some help, because it had been abandoned, and basically this building had been abandoned or left anyway. So we did buy a building. We had the help of our church, who had never mortgaged itself but did for us. We had members, other members in the congregation who were not going to move in, but they wanted to help support this vision. And so they supplied some monies. We all put in a little bit of money. We had a very supportive minister, and it, again, this building was not livable at the time that we bought it. It's a 21-unit apartment building, and it's in a lot of Chicago buildings, they're huge structures with apartments on all around. What I need to go back to is, in back to Al's vision a minute, is that he did come out of second. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about being parts of each other, parts of the body. One suffers, all suffer. If one is honored, all are honored. That's one of the words. And that was very, very important. He needed to have a base that from the Bible, from the tradition, the church tradition. He needed to have an analysis of what was going on as he saw it in the culture, in the Western culture, in American culture, and as probably Elaine especially could probably tell you, he had lots of, and Carol probably from listening to the archives that you heard little bits and pieces. He never sounded really like he was, he had a lot of criticism of our Western culture, we'll put it that way. And one of the things he felt like is that we were very isolated individuals, and we'd go off to work, and we'd go off, and we'd never see each other in various ways, and that the church could be a very isolating thing too. So one of the things he wanted about community was so that there is interrelations, and especially in a city. This was the era of communes. If this wasn't a commune, although some people thought it was, you know, what you think about the country, this was more. You know, this is in the city. How do you relate to each other in a city where you can be so anonymous? And so that was really very, very important. He also wanted to make sure it was all ages, all races, especially black and white, because that's where we were, and that's the area we're in, all economic levels, so that it was not hierarchical. It's what we call affordable housing now. He wanted affordable housing. He didn't want one of our church members to go off to an old people's home. At that time, he wanted her to be around all ages of people. He wanted children there. We had a one-year-old at the time we moved in. So all of that was in the mix, too, of how do you do that. Now, that doesn't mean we were always successful at all those sort of things. But this was the sort of feelings that were going on at that time. Carol?
How many people, how big a group was it when you were looking for this housing?
Initially? Boy, I don't know. Let's say there were probably 25 or so. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of guessing right now because I have to go back and think of who was all there. And you know, there were some that kind of passed through and all that sort of thing too. But a pretty nice number. And most of them were from our church. Or had attended our church enough to know that this is what it was sort of about. Not that they were necessarily buying into it, but all right, let me see. Okay, so we buy the building, and then because it's not in good shape, not a lot of people could move in at once. We were one of the families that did move in, and that's because that particular tier had a little more possibilities in terms of going there. But I mean, really, we didn't have hot water probably for 5 or 6 years. I mean, we had to boil it. Never have any. And the boiler system down in the basement, I mean, was put together with chewing gum and baby wire. I mean, you know, these were these sort of things that kind of had to happen. And part of the building you couldn't use at all. It was just totaled. It was a mess. You know, people come in and take things when the building is abandoned. And so, and we didn't have the money. We tried to get some federal funding, and as we say, Reagan was elected, and that closed that window for a long time. And it did. So eventually we got some funding in the mid-80s and were able to start some rehab. Not of all what we wanted. Now, Al wanted Holden Village in Chicago. He wanted the loom room. He wanted the pottery shop. He wanted the library. He wanted many things that made what he saw as making community here at Holden. He wanted those there. You know, and plus solar heat, by the way. And we had architects working on solar and all that, and clearly we didn't have the money for any of that. And then when we finally got some money, their ideas weren't exactly in concert with our ideas, so what we got is some basic rehab. And that's kind of what happened to that. But that didn't mean there wasn't community. And then people began to move in more, that began to think about it, or again, were connected to Al one way or the other. Not just Al, but I mean, I knew somebody, but a lot of it was Al. I mean, he went to the Chamber of Commerce there, and one of our best workers and best friends came out of that setting, who had never been to our church. And he and his wife came over and are still extremely important. By the way, Al is no longer living, and so some of you didn't know that. We had lots and lots of meetings. We had to figure out things like how are we going to organize ourselves. We had to figure out money, who was going to take the money, who, if were we going to have members. But we had to have bylaws. We had to get our ducks in a row, and that took lots and lots and lots and lots of meetings. While we're in the building. Those that were in the building, and those were, that came over, for always potlucks. So on Sunday nights to this day, there's still potlucks, every Sunday night. And it's a little bit different now, but back then. So there were all sorts of things that went on in terms of building community. Lots of us, as children became a part of the community, either were born in the community or, as my son did, came with us, of course. And so we had little ones, a lot of little ones for a while. So a lot of us mothers would get together and talk about that. They would be talking about what work was about and what kind of work one should have. We had a family that had some alcohol problems. We got together on that issue. We got together on working in you know, this food, what now are called food pantries, but at that time it was just serving a meal once in a while down the block. And now we're in the community called Woodlawn. That's right next to Hyde Park, which is the University of Chicago community. Woodlawn was the community that was studied ad nauseum sociologically because it became a community that went downhill and then became all African American and became gang related and all sorts of things. So the university wanted to study it, but they didn't want anything else to do with it. So at that time. So we were kind of those people that crossed the line a little bit. And we also found that it was not who wants to be in community. It's not an easy thing. I mean, Al, of course, thought we were going to have a community kitchen, of course, which I thought was just a terrible idea. And but we do have a little bit of a kitchen right now. But we don't cook together all the time. I mean, he really saw the whole dining room back in Chicago. And we found people that really had some interest, and oftentimes they were mainly white that wanted community, that liked idea. I mean, knew what potlucks are. Oftentimes didn't have any other family in the city. Oftentimes family in the city, if you had family, that's where you spent your time. And that's community too. But, and oftentimes some of our African American members of our church were the ones that didn't want to go to Woodlawn because that would be a step down for them. So they didn't like that. They might have been supportive financially with some monies and all that and say, good, go on, do it. But they weren't going to live there. And so, you know, you learn some things about why people want community, who is it that wants it. It's not always because you want to just live in community because you like everybody. You don't. Can you get along with some people? Yeah, you try to do that most of the time. Didn't work all the time. Do you like potlucks? Well, you don't like potlucks, you don't like community. That would be one thing. And so the idea of cooperation is more difficult than you think it is. And maybe you talked about whether we would share cars or not. Well, we don't. But there's a community up in Evanston that does. I think they have financial sharing and some sharing of other things. We did not do that exactly. But we did share with each other a lot of various items at the time, whether it was a vacuum or something like that. We would do that sort of thing. And, you know, we still do it, sort of.
Did everyone who moved in sign the covenant?
Yeah, everyone that moved in, we did for a while, we signed the covenant. Now, you noticed, I think, what did you notice about this covenant? Did anybody have any? You may not have even.
Face-to-face.
It was positive.
Yeah.
It wasn't do not do.
Right. Right. Some would say it's probably more visionary, more of a, you know, kind of a thing you just kind of like to do, but it didn't have any rules in it. Mm-hmm. And the new community, which was the study that people read in the 70s, was very rule-oriented. And there were many, many, many discussions on how rule-oriented we should be. And there were some people on both sides. So that created, you know, not everybody was of the same opinion, which is good. But it caused, also, we started out the phrase, God having covenanted with us. There were a lot of people that didn't like that phrase, don't like that phrase, never will like that phrase, and that caused a lot of discussions too. So, or how, do you have to be all from one church? Do you have to be Christian? Do you have to be, all those kind of things. We hadn't, so those were all, have been issues that we have, I think we have talked about a lot in our community meetings, and we have a community meetings every Sunday night. Oftentimes we have a good program. We would have what we call the committee or agenda committee, I think, that would set up plans for what that would. A lot of people told their stories of, you know, where they came from, how they got there, what their life, some of them started when they were born, and some of them started at different times in their life. And those were really, really important, I think, in building. Because one of the things that in community is trust. And you have to have long time living together. I mean, that could be whatever long time means to you, but you've got to have time to get to really, really connect with each other. Whether you like, you know, you won't like everybody, but you won't be able to say things, you won't be able to do some things if you don't trust. At least that's my perspective, and I think that was a lot of the community's perspective. So, I'd rather just have questions. Yeah.
How are you organized? Was it just at, like, for community issues that everyone had a vote? Was there a committee that was elected? Was there someone that was elected for a certain amount of time? Like that?
You're asking how we, say this again.
So how did you organize, like, your decision-making process? And so you had these meetings every Sunday. If an issue came up, that would a family like bring an issue and then everyone could vote on it, or?
No, not, it wasn't quite that, I would say, planned.
Mm-hmm.
we did, one of the things that this building and this structure that we have, so let me go back to the structure. We don't own our apartments, by the way. We are a co-op of sorts, and I can never ever remember what kind of co-op it is, but it's not an ownership co-op. But we do select our members, and we do have, and we meet as a whole, as a board, for the residents. The residents decide this. Who's going to, you know, somebody applies, have to go through, they have to come to potlucks two or three times, they have to fill out a little, I want to be in this community because, they have to do their, agreement, you know, with if they're going to application, if they're going to apply to be a member, they have to be able to pay. You know, there is that. That's one of the sticking points of paying, of course. There's that side of things. So one of the things we do is we do select our members. The board also then can say this isn't working. You know, or you haven't paid your what was called carrying charge, you haven't done this, haven't done that, and that person may have to leave. It's very messy at times, very messy. And other times, okay. And so if somebody comes, I don't think as a group we rather voted to just say this is on some of those issues I think that you asked. That was more of an informal thing. Yeah.
Is there a mission or witness outside of this community?
No, and I think I would just say no to that. And that was a major discussion off and on. Some people wanted us to take in homeless. Some people wanted us to set up again our own maybe food pantry of some sort. And the other side of all of that was, how do we live together in this community? And we're talking about a challenging community. How are we a part of this community? And not everybody was a part. At that time, the idea of community gardens was not really around. But a community garden was started. Just right down, a couple of doors down from us, with the neighbors and some of us starting the garden. That brought in community, the neighborhood community in a lot of ways. Now, you know, community gardens are all over now. So that was one thing. But I think we spent so much time, first of all, getting the building together, and then figuring out how we connected with each other and encouraging people to do many other things outside, but we, the community, did not do something else outside. And others, some wanted us to, but...
This is membership for life. Can you also pull out?
Yes. And I don't, you know, members would, they, because they're apartments, you know, you could, your family grows, you move away, and now we have several students, so students, of course, don't stay.
You still have original people like you?
I'm the original.
Yeah, you're the original. Is there anyone else?
I am original, yes. There is one other person that lives in the building now that's next. I mean, I'm the first one there, and then... His family came.
So, but this community has been thriving through all these years.
It has not been thriving all these years. And that's another thing.
It is like home, right?
Well, it changes. Let's put it that way. It changes. It changes in nature. I think this particular community, from my perspective, it's only mine, needed a kind of strong vision to guide it all the time. I think when Al died, we came up here for 2 years, mm-hmm. and we did get permission, Langston, from the community to come. So that was we did ask if we could come, and we were told that we could. So that is, you know, so sometimes those things happen. But I think when he died, and he did die in the community, which was really, really important. He wanted people to do. He didn't want them to go again and be isolated. So, and his last months of life, I had incredible community support. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I had my own hospice, you might say, of people coming to relieve me, plus at various times, and just being present. And some that could say, I can't do this. I just can't do this, and that was all right too. So we had, you know, we had all that. But so, what was your question?
My question is: so it has been going on for, I don't know, 20 years or what?
Since 79.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's earlier than
77.
So that's
pretty long.
Yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. still there.
30.
And
mm-hmm.
since you're always getting new members, it's changing.
We are. And we are paying off our balloon payment to the mortgage. It's 2016. So paying it off.
So the building will be free and clear then?
That the building will be free and clear.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. And the person that's shepherding all that has been a member of our community since the beginning. In fact, it was her cabin we went to write the covenant. So she's incredible, and she is my husband's right hand woman.
You mentioned it was originally over 30 units?
21. Just 21.
Now it's 21.
No, okay. It was never 30. It was always 21.
Okay.
We never changed
the
generally. We did once, but that was is back to where it's 21. So,
okay.
But really it's just 21. And mainly they're one bedrooms and two bedrooms and a few three bedrooms. So, and it's an old building. It was built in 1915. So it's not one of your modern, you know, structures, which is a good structure and all that sort of thing. But yes, we're ongoing. There is a potluck every Sunday night. There is what I call no meeting going on there, which is too bad. We have a board of the whole, as I mentioned. The residents are the board of the whole. And we do make decisions mainly in terms of new members, budget. We do our own maintenance. And we now have a build. After a while, we've got a building manager, which is one of us. I was a building manager for a while. And so we've had to do some of it. We used to take in our own money. We used to, you know, pay out the bills ourselves and all that. And that got to be, that person had to move on. And so we had to figure out another way. Some of the people that moved on, you know, are still in the city and are still very connected to us in a lot of ways.
Decision making, informal consensus, voting board?
On all of the above. On some issues, yes, we have to vote, like new members. And we have some committees have, again, this has evolved over the years. So it just depends on who's there. And that, for example, a membership committee will bring their recommendations to the full board, the rest of
the So it's a mixture of all these possible means of coming to a conclusion.
Yeah. And some things are just building stuff. And you know enough about building stuff here, those of you in it, that, you know, that needs to get done, or you want to get done, or get mad that it doesn't get done, and all of that sort of thing. And that comes up at meetings. So sometimes they're just not fun meetings, is what that I would say about that. So, anyway.
Oh,
let me get Peg, and then I'll come back to you. Hold that one.
So, I was thinking about what you're talking about, and I was comparing it to where Chuck and I just came from in Kansas City, which was a condominium, really. But it just happened to be full because of where it was in the city of sort of like-minded individuals. It seemed, I don't know really how that happened, but I know people that really liked living there said, oh, you should come here and live. It's really good. And you got a lot of really fun people here. And we had a lot of the same things. So what do you think are the major things that make like a condominium that has an active life of its own different than a community? Or we moved there because we like living in community, and it was a good community. So, I mean, I wonder if there's anything different about...
I don't think there is. In a lot of ways, it's whether you think you want to, if you are intentional and wanting to live in relation, however that relation is, to other people. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to live in the same building necessarily. Doesn't mean you have to live, you know, in very... This was one way. And as I say, again, for us, it was because there was this feeling that living in the city, and certainly at that time, and even now, you can get pretty... go in your door, and that's it. Not have any relation with anybody else in your building if you live in an apartment or a condominium. Or in your neighborhood. I've heard people say that they can go and shut the door in their garage and go in and never know anybody in their neighborhood. If that's a concern, that there's more to it, more to life. If life is, if your faith or something deals with connections, how are you connected? And this was a way for a group of people that say, beyond the church Sunday morning, how are we connected? And that was the original thought. And of course, things evolved in a lot of ways, and it was quite a few members in our church for a while, but then it changed, and there's a lot of different other realities there. Some are very exciting, some are not. Yes. Laura.
So kind of an extension of that question is like, so you know, how are we connected? So how were you connected? Was the co-housing really the basis of it? Or other than having Sunday night meetings and living in an apartment building with people that you knew, was there other like facilitated community time or like space for conversation that was like intentional? What did it look like as far as beyond just the co-housing experience?
And that's good that you call it co-housing, because that's probably more what it would be now. But, of course, that time we didn't know that word.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
But anyway. Place was important.
Yeah.
And where we were, and knowing who lives in your building also was very important. I can't emphasize that enough, especially, at least in Chicago. It's nice to know who your neighbors are. You feel, I think I can speak for most of us, you feel safer.
Yeah.
You know, people around you know you. We lived in somewhat of a challenged area at the time. You had to kind of look around at times, make sure it was okay. You know? So I think that was good. Yes, there were lots of many occasions, not all of which I can remember at this time, Laura, that we interacted with each other other than a Sunday night potluck. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of the grounding
sure.
time that we were getting together. But whether it was we were outside having a picnic, we've had weddings at our community, people getting married that have lived in the community, a birth in the community, of having those showers. I think we had, I'm not sure we had one here, we used to have pound parties. You know what pound parties are? Pound parties are when someone generally is getting married. And in the old days, you used to bring them a pound of something so they could start out their married life together. So whether it's a pound of salt, a pound of bread, or coffee, or whatever. And I just had a pound party last year because most people your age, mainly, many people don't know what a pound party is. And of course, people come up with all sorts of funny things about what a pound party could be. But it was again for, we had several of those for couples that got married and then came to our building to live. So we would do some of those fun things or retirement parties. And then as I say, we'd have a little Bible studies or a prayer meet for a few of us that just wanted to have morning prayer once a week. Some people wanted, the women had got, because they were the heart of the matter, of course, wanted to have coffee together. And they had the little ones around. And so, you know, we could all be together at times. And that might happen once a week. We might have a work project, mowing the lawn together. There would be there. And then, of course, we were always dealing with the building itself for a long time. So I can't remember all the things that we did, but lots and lots of interaction.
But the covenant was a part.
The covenant, and we always had a covenanting ceremony every year. And people wrote up, we would all write little things about what the year had been for us, why we thought we were covenant, what did we want to do better, what did we want to do in our community, in the world, however we wanted to write it. And those that wanted to speak it, they could do that. You could sign a little slip, I think it said something about maybe you wanted to just be another thing. We had a few things like you needed to come to several meetings and you needed to do a few things like that. But it was pretty limited. Nobody ever was a judge on that. Heritage and take.
Now, all of us are the instigator of this whole thing and I guess somewhat the soul of it all, you know, as a visionary. So when he died, that must have been quite a transition for the community. How are you doing now? Was that felt that this was all of a sudden not there anymore? Did someone took his place, or is this working in different ways now?
No one took his place. I'm sorry that didn't happen. I think he would have been too, although, didn't happen. We are there. There are some people that like to come to Sunday night. We don't do much more than that. At least check in with each other, let's put it that way. When I had a ruptured tendon this winter, I had several people from the building that helped me either with transportation and going to get my groceries, take my laundry down because I lived up on the third floor. I live on the third floor, walk up. I had community help. I knew I could call on my community to do that. And I wanted to make sure people in the community knew that they could do that in the building, that they could ask for help when they needed it. And I know others have asked for help when they've needed it from a health standpoint or something like that recently. So there is interconnection that's going on. It's just we're not as united as we used to be, and we don't have the kind of, no one signs a covenant anymore. I don't even think most people know what the covenant is. Mm-hmm. I think they think of it as an apartment building. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion. So that doesn't mean that's all what's true.
I wanted to go back and pick at something, a couple of things you said, because it intrigues me. So you were talking about, so there's these three guys with big ideas about community, and then there's three women walking down the road, having a lot of conversation. And then you mentioned, you said, and the women, because they were the heart of it all. So, and I know Rich and Liz, and I know who the heart beat of the Grimwald Hill was, or is. So tell me, I'm just really interested in, so you have this visionary with the idea. Mm-hmm. Was it, did you have to sort of bring that to life, or
how did that work? Yeah. Well, not very smoothly at times. I would say, you know, looking back, it was I can't imagine a different life.
Agreed.
And for that, I am so, so grateful. I'm grateful to Holden. I'm grateful to Al. I'm grateful to the life that we've had in Chicago and that I have now, which comes back to Holden. It's kind of a circle in that sort of thing. So you have to, well, I think, and we're all personalities, so we all have different ways of dealing with things. And I mean, you know, fear does, like, well, how's this going to look? What's it going to happen? You know, how's this going to be? What do I have to do to help it happen, you know, and getting kind of nervous about it. And so those were kind of my angst going into this. And also we were getting ready to have a baby. And I thought, oh, this is really not what I need right now, you know, this abandoned building, what is this? some of those, and then feeling that we would do the actual work, I mean, Julie and I walking up and down that road thought, you know, these guys have these great ideas. They'll be sitting around with these great ideas, and we'll be doing all the work
we'll
and getting this thing going.
Yeah, right.
You know, the nitty gritty, the grunt work, you know, and they'll just be kind of la la there. And nothing against la la, Kim. But, and of course, that wasn't always the case, but the women, in my case, and many of the women in our building were the heart. They really were. And Al would say that. That's one thing. It wasn't, and he felt like we were together as a team on that, because he didn't have the part I had and I didn't have what he had. And I'd say probably maybe for Rich and Liz that was the same way. She's a strong woman. And for Julie, well, Julie and Paul are a whole other matter, but that's it.
So it seems like the community has kind of moved away from the original.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. If that's okay, if that's just a natural state of the community, it changes, or if not, how do you get back to that, like, original covenant and idea behind it?
Well, I don't think we would ever get back to the original covenant. I think we'd get back to maybe the broad framework of it. I think you'd have to have someone that would take that on. And certainly within our community now, we wouldn't have that unless somebody just kind of flies in. And, you know, but that would not be kind of, what's the word, from the ground, you know, that really had it. I mean, I think it would be something new. Is the idea of community still important to people? I don't know.
Oh, it's growing all over.
And again, community, I think, I have learned over the years, mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And it's still, to me, the whole idea of what connectedness means. And is that important, or I can just do it on my own and I really don't care about anybody, and that's a little harsh, but I don't care. But for me, myself, and I, and so then you get into all these other things. So I don't, and we are finishing up the mortgage on the building. You should know that for us, one of the things that happened in the getting, you know, the financing and everything is that our church took on this responsibility. So I don't even go through this complicated structure, and I won't do that. But should we, after we pay the mortgage off, make a decision that we want to sell the building, and it's on prime property now, you know, after all these years, because the community's changing, which before the downturn in the economy would have brought in quite a bit of money. That money would go to the church. And because there is a board that oversees kind of the financial part, the church continues to make a decision to say housing is very important and affordable housing is very important. And we want to continue that rather than we need all the money we can get, let's get this money out of the building and put it right into the church, which needs money too. So things may change in terms of the building. In the next few years, we'll be on a year lease. The building will be on a year lease, as of now, as a matter of fact. As it
came up. From the church?
I don't want to go through the structure. It's too complicated. And there's two boards.
Okay.
But it's from a board made up of community and church members. How it's going to be, I think it has to be a new one. A new vision, Langston. And whether that vision comes out of something here at Holden Village that people begin to, but the main thing is, there was lots and lots and lots of discussion right here. And lots of, not only just walking down the road, but people really engaging in thinking about, and what do we do, and then had the courage to go out and do it. That still amazes me. That, you know, and it amazes me constantly with various people doing various things from Holden that are just astounding, you know. And so Holden's out there all the time, and that's what I really want to bring it back to. And then you often come back and say, this is the home of some of those, that soil that gets things going. So thank you.
Thank you.